So last week, Pastor Troy preached about the call of Jeremiah. When the Lord speaks to this young Jeremiah and says, go to the people of Israel and give them this message. Now, Jeremiah is young and this message is hard. The Lord tells Jeremiah, tell the people of Israel that judgment is coming because they've turned away from me. They have worshipped idols and false gods. They have left their true God. And Jerusalem will be destroyed. Judgment is coming. This is a hard word for Jeremiah to bring, and he doesn't want to bring it. Prasad, do you want to go to the next slide? So kids, if you have a homework assignment that you don't want to do and you're complaining about, remember Jeremiah. Remember his assignment from the Lord. And maybe you won't complain about your assignment, your work to do. This is a hard calling to bring this sad news that judgment's coming. And did you hear it in the reading? Did you hear God's hurt? God's heartache over his people? Why would you leave me? Why would you turn your back on me? After all I brought you through? Why? You hear God's hurt in these words, and it doesn't make sense. There's no clear answer. Why would they turn away after God brought them out of Egypt? After God led them through the wilderness? After God gave them a good land to live in, they turn away. Why? And Jeremiah is scratching his head. He's wondering, how could this be? It doesn't make sense. And even the heavens are shocked. The heavens declare, Israel, how could you screw this up so bad? So when you hear a thunderstorm, remember the heavens, they just can't understand why, Israel, would you turn away? And Jeremiah, he looks to the east and to the west. He says, has this happened before? Has a nation ever turned its back on its God? And he looks at Cyprus in the east, and he looks at Kedar in the west, and he says, these nations worship idols, little statues, but at least they're faithful. At least they don't turn away from their gods. But you, Israel, you have turned away. It doesn't make sense. And we wonder, why? Why? Well, Jeremiah gives us a clue. There's a question in the message twice. Where is the Lord? In verse 6 and in verse 8, they did not ask, where is the Lord? And the priest did not ask, where is the Lord? The Lord brought them out of Egypt. The Lord led them through the desert. He settled them in the promised land. And they stop asking, where are you, Lord? It's a small question. Where are you, Lord? But it's a question that can make all the difference. To ask, where are you, Lord? Where are you in all of this? When we look at our lives, do we ask, where are you, Lord, in this? When we look at the news, do we ask, where are you, Lord? So Jeremiah, he's trying to help Israel. He says, let's look at our story. And he looks back. And he begins in Egypt. When the Lord remembered his people, but the people find themselves in Egypt, and they're slaves for 200 years in Egypt. And they are wondering, where are you, Lord? Have you forgotten us? Is this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is this God just a fairy tale of our ancestors? Just a God of the past? Have we been forgotten? No, the Lord did not forget them. He raised up Moses. He led them out of bondage into freedom. But have you ever found yourself in that place? In your own Egypt where you feel trapped or forgotten? And you wonder, where are you, God? Have you forgotten me? Have you heard my cry? Do you see my suffering? Where are you? It's hard to trust in those times. It's hard. But God didn't forget his people. And then in the desert, in the wilderness, the people have been set free from slavery. But soon enough, they're wondering, where are you, God? Did you lead us out here to die in the desert? And they want to go back to Egypt, because at least there we had 3 square meals a day. But here we have to trust that you're going to provide. Where are you, God? Have you been in the desert place? And you're wondering, where are you, God? What's next? How do we get from here to there? Will you provide what I need, what my family needs? Where are you, Lord? But the Lord was with his people, and he provided for them. He led them through, and he brought them to the promised land. And this is where things change, because the people, they have what they need. It's a good and rich land. They have what they need in the promised land. And they stop asking, where is the Lord? Because when things are good, we don't need God. We can forget. And the people of Israel look at their neighbors in the land, the Canaanites, and they see, oh, the Canaanites do so well for themselves. They're good farmers. Maybe we can be like them. Maybe we can be successful. So maybe we should worship their gods too. And so Israel forgets. They stop asking, where are you, Lord? Have you been in that place where things are good? Or maybe you're so busy working hard to be successful, you don't have time for God. You don't slow down to say, where are you, Lord? Have you been in that place? The people of God have been in the promised land for 600 years. And they've forgotten who they are. They've forgotten their story. And that's what Jeremiah is doing. He's trying to remind the people, this is who you are. This is where you've been. This is where the Lord has taken you. At the beginning of our reading, did you notice Jeremiah's address? He says in verse 4, people of Jacob, hear the Lord's message. Listen, all you tribes of Israel. The people of Jacob, the tribes of Israel. Jeremiah is reminding the people who they are. Do you know the story of how the people of Jacob became the people of Israel? Jacob was at the river Jabbok, and he's all alone. And at that night, he begins to wrestle with a man or an angel, we're not sure. But Jacob is struggling. He's wrestling, and as he wrestles, he's injured. His hip is twisted, but Jeremiah holds on. He keeps wrestling through the pain, all through the darkness, all through the night. Jeremiah struggles, he wrestles, and he says, I won't let go until you bless me. And this man, this angel says, what's your name? Jacob, he says. No, your name won't be Jacob anymore. It will be Israel, because you have wrestled with God and with man. Friends, our identity as God's people is in that story, that we are a people who wrestle, that we are a people who hold on All through the night, all through the darkness, we hold on and we don't let go because we believe there's a blessing the Lord has for us. But the people have let go. They've turned away from God. Jeremiah ends this part of his message with an image of a well, a broken well. In verse 13, now the Hebrew word translated well here is, it's actually more like a cistern or a pit, a water pit, something that catches rainwater, that you just store water in. It's not a deep well down into fresh springs. And the people have built their own cisterns. They've tried to take for themselves what God has given. But the water just sits there. It becomes stagnant. It makes them sick. They're trying to keep this for themselves. They don't need the Lord anymore because they're holding the blessings for themselves. Now, that same Jacob, he dug a well in the land of Canaan. And this well was there for years and years while the people of Israel were in Egypt. And the well was there when they came back to the promised land. It was there for hundreds and hundreds of years, all the way down the centuries until a young prophet came to this well, to Jacob's well. And there's a woman there, and he asks her for a drink. And they begin talking. And he says this to her. Mariah, do you recognize that? Our friend Mariah painted this of the woman at the well. He says to the woman at the well, anyone who drinks of the water I give them will never be thirsty. This water will become a spring to them. It will flow up into eternal life. Now that prophet at the well, you know who he was, Jesus. And Jesus says, I have water for you that will lead to life. It will never make you thirsty again. And friends, haven't we been busy digging our own wells, trying to save ourselves, trying to keep blessing for ourselves instead of trusting in God? But Jesus says, no, I want to take you deeper. I want to take you beneath the surface. I want to take you through your pain, through your hurt. I want to take you through every season to a place where there's life, where there's hope. Where are you, Lord? Where are you, Lord? Friends, this Jesus shows us that the Lord has been with us in every season. Jesus shows us what it means to hold on to God when we find ourselves trapped. Jesus shows us at the Garden of Gethsemane what it means to hold on to God through the night as Jesus wrestles and prays, where are you, Lord? Jesus shows us how to hold on. And Jesus shows us how to hold on to God in the wilderness, in the desert. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus trusts that God will provide. And even in the promised land, Jesus shows us when things are good, when the people praise him and they say, Hosanna, Jesus shows us to hold on to God through it all in every season. Friends, Jesus shows us that God is at home with us in every season, in good times and hard times and dry seasons and seasons of abundance and goodness. God is at home, and Jesus shows us and invites us to hold on, to hold on. And Jesus, here's the good news, friends. Jesus holds on for us. He holds on for us. He did it for the people of Israel. He does it for you. He holds on for us. And he never lets go. So if you ask yourself, in whatever season you're in, where are you, Lord? Look to Jesus. Jesus is holding on for you. And Jesus wants to give you life. He wants to renew you. He wants to give you water that does not run dry, water that leads to eternal life. So come to Jesus, friends. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.